Okay. Oh, no, don't come yet. Not yet.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for your patience. And I hope you enjoy the movie. So we have some very, very special guests. What I want to do first is introduce the producer of the film. We often don't have producers on stage. They're behind the scenes. But Anthony Bregman is actually somebody who we've shown a number of his films here. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, we showed recently, Synecdoche, New York. He also has some extraordinary films coming out in the next year, including Foxfire and a movie that just premiered in Toronto, Can a Song Save Your Life? And this amazing film, and we're really thrilled that he's with us. He's a great friend of the museums, and we're pleased to welcome Anthony Bregman. And extraordinary writer-director. I've been a fan of all of her films, including Walking and Talking and Lovely and Amazing, Friends with Money, and Please Give. And this is a wonderful movie. And and we're glad that it brings the writer-director, Nicole Holofcener, here.
Thank you. And you saw me.
We have one more guest, but she's on her way still, so she'll be here momentarily.
She's a block away.
Yeah, a block away, so hopefully the right block, but we'll know when she's here. Maybe she's on 36th Avenue instead of 36th Street or something. So,
there she is.
There she is, yes. I guess I want to start just by asking how the film kind of evolves in your mind, because it's such an interesting balance of being, there's such a great situation in the film, the sort of plot point that's so key, is a great story, but it's really a character film. As I was saying in the beginning, you are a writer-director who is interested in what happens in each scene between people and characters and observation. So how does it kind of gel, you know, come together for you?
Well, I guess I wanted to write a movie that actually had a plot point, you know, I didn't want to lose what was real and grounded in the story. I didn't want it to become silly. That was actually the hardest part of writing the script. Hmm. It was like how to have, you know, her hide behind a bush and not be stupid. Even if that one moment is stupid, you know, that's okay. But I still wanted it to be very grounded in reality. What?
So that was... say anything. That's our imaginary friend was asking that question.
What was in my head when I thought of it all?
Well, no, that was a good answer.
That was good. Okay.
Well, could you talk about, I guess, what are your early discussions like as between a writer, director, and producer, you know, because you're talking about how this film is actually going to come into being. This is for you, Anthony.
The way this film was made is what's known in the business as a blind deal. Mm-hmm. Which is that Fox Searchlight, which is financed and is releasing the movie, has always been a fan of Nicole's and has always said,
no,
they've always said every time we made a movie, they said, oh, we wish we made that movie, and so we said, well, why don't you just make a movie with us? And and they said, all right, and so they said, well, we'll do a blind deal, and well, kind of.
I had to pitch the story to them.
But it was still, it qualifies as a blind deal.
Okay.
It's a semi-blind, it's partially sighted deal where you basically do what you want. You basically do the story that you want, but they had to know about it.
Okay, well, here she is.
Here she is. Wow. Hi. We got lost,
okay.
Sorry.
We were saying you might have been wandering around the neighborhood.
Yes, so. We were. It's okay. Lovely.
Good. Right. And luckily, you need no introduction. So, here you are. Okay. So you were.
So basically, the way that Nicole wrote it is, she started writing it, and she'd say like, oh, I'm on page 50, and I'd say, oh, great, do you want to talk about it? She's like, no, let me go further. And then she, like 3 weeks later, she'd say, well, I'm on page 40. I threw out 80 pages. And by the end, she had a script. And that script was like 5% different. The first draft of the script was about 5% different from the final draft of the script.
Yeah, if anything changed, it was mostly that plot point, that when she finds out the truth, that changed all the time. Like, in my script, the audience found out before she did that Marianne and Albert were once married. And then, so that the plot contrivances changed a lot. But you should talk now because you just got here.
Sure.
Okay, so I guess, how did you first get involved and what attracted you to the project?
Well, frankly, what attracted me to the project was the script.
Yeah.
And I'd always been a fan of Nicole's work, but we had, for some bizarre reason, never met, even though we're, roughly the same age, kids are the same age, we live in the same neighborhood.
We're the same person.
We're the same person. So, but we did meet on this, and we kind of fell in love. I think that's safe to say.
No.
You're very contrary to that.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I did set you up.
We fell in love.
You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah.
And so that's how it happened. Yeah.
Okay. And when did you sort of start thinking of the script with specific actors in mind?
When
did you? Yeah.
Oh, well, always. I mean, as I'm writing them, sometimes I picture a certain person as I'm writing. I don't really remember who I pictured actually anymore. But I guess it becomes a group effort at a certain point when marketing becomes involved and a studio is involved and producers are involved. And also, I needed to match up the right people. Make sure that Julia was good with Jim. Jim was good with Julia. But it was kind of right before we started shooting, pretty soon.
Okay. Well, I have to ask you about James Gandolfini and selecting him and working with him. As I said at the beginning, it's a different side of him than we've seen, and it's just such a touching, wonderful performance. So, could you talk about how you got thought of him first, got him involved, and
well, I thought of him for another one of my movies, and so I met with him about that, and that was a couple of years ago, and he wasn't quite right for the part, but I really liked him so much, and felt that we would hit it off, and that he said he was a fan of my movies, which stunned me. I don't know why, but everyone's always stunned that he's not Tony Soprano,
Right.
Like, oh, you're actually just a man and an actor and watch independent movies. So I had him in the back of my mind always as somebody that I would like to work with. And when this part came up, he just seemed like the perfect guy. It seems like I wrote it for him. I didn't write it for him, but maybe I did somewhere in there.
And had you met him before? There's such an incredible naturalness and chemistry between you that seems...
I only socially and sort of briefly, but we met on this film, really, and hit it off right away, I mean, he was nervous, but we hit it off right away, yeah.
You weren't nervous?
No, not really that. No. I mean, was I? I don't think I was. No. I mean, yeah, I want to make sure that... yeah, maybe I was a little nervous, yeah. But I mean, I got the feeling he was really pretty nervous.
Because he was playing sort of a romantic lead?
Yeah, he didn't feel as if he was sort of, I think he was questioning his whether or not, if he should be, if he was right for the role a lot, yeah. Which made him that much more lovable.
And did you kind of film it in the order that we see it?
No, not at all.
No, which was a real bummer. We shot it and we made a book of, in each scene, what does Eva know? Mm-hmm. Because it was hard to sort of
remember.
Remember. I mean, little things. She knows he does the onions. She knows he does the night tables.
Right.
Whatever. But these pieces of information have to be floating around in your head.
Yeah.
And then what is the process like, sort of tinkering with scenes and playing around with scenes? I understand that you did some work on the final scene, the scene just with you and Jim sitting, down and talking. What was that scene like to sort of get the right tone and just nail the scene?
Well, we were debating it for a lot about how to end the movie without getting too corny and stuff.
Or too vague.
Right.
Too vague, too concise, too corny, too cold.
Right.
Does he forgive her? Does he not forgive her?
Right.
How fast? How slow? there's too many choices.
Right. It was definitely threading a needle.
Yeah.
But, and so we definitely did improvise it to sort of find our way to that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then when we did get it, we knew it, we could feel it. Hmm. And when Jim and I walked off the set and we just fell into each other's arms just behind a closed door. And it was really an exciting sort of private triumphant moment. Hmm. You know,
and where was I? Crafty. Yeah. Where was I? No, I wish I was hugging you.
Remember how we walked off? No, then you remember? But remember
how
we
walked off? That's when the Cinnabons arrived.
Yeah, right. No, we walked into the house and we went, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Anyway, it was really exciting. And okay. But there were lots of things like that in the movie when we would sort of, it was a very congenial experience.
I'd like to hear a little bit about it from the production standpoint, from the places and locations where you filmed. It was
all filmed within 2 miles of Nicole's house, right, which is essentially the directive on all her films.
No.
it's very much like a West Side of LA story, and so it was all basically around there. We went to the East
Hollywood.
Side once for the car shots because we shot them on a stage.
And their date was on Vine. That first day in that club place.
But it was and it's all like very, you know, Nicole keeps a very kind of calm and homey set, which is why the acting feels very natural. It feels like these things are just happening. And so really what the important thing for Nicole is to kind of like maintain a calmness on the set and not have, you know, not have outbursts and not have, you know, big surprises, and not have crew members, with the exception of one or two people who are like, you know, tend to
nuts.
Be explosive. And that's basically what it is. It's basically these very kind of, you know, these realistic scenes that are taking place in these real locations with, you know, actors who are being very natural.
And do you do sort of more rehearsal work, work with performance like on set than many directors? I mean, you don't have time to do that.
We didn't have time.
No. Yeah.
We read through the script a couple of times, and like Julie and Jim did, and with me, and we would change lines, add lines, take things away, make little question marks. Then we would block the scene on the set for the first time together. I would have been there, but they get there, and then we would do more kind of either improvising, but there was never enough time for me to say, like, just let it go, see what happens.
Yeah, but we did anyway, don't you think, to a certain extent? I mean,
you did, but but they're disciplined and professional actors. They didn't like go on and on and on.
Well, that's true.
They knew what they were doing. Because that can be a scary thing to say to an actor, like, just let's see where it goes. It goes into the next room, even if the camera's not there.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Yeah.
Could you talk about how some of the sort of emotional issues that you're dealing with in the film, sort of how that evolved, maybe some of the incidents? I mean, just the way that the film looks at couples. You know, it's interesting because it has these two single people, and there's this couple with Toni Collette that sort of makes couplehood look maybe a little scary. I mean,
yeah,
like makes you think maybe you don't want to be in a couple.
You know, I didn't actually think about it that much.
Mm-hmm.
The other couple, I didn't. They were really fun to write.
Yeah.
And I didn't question it. You know, she had to have a best friend, and the best friend had to have a husband, and it just kind of flowed out of me. Flowed. Thank you. a lot of time I write and I don't really know what it's about until I'm done, or even until the movie's done and I see how everything kind of fit together. But I didn't really decide whether or not that couple would get divorced or stay together. It didn't need to be resolved for me. It was just a fun, bickering, weird couple that puts the best friend in the back seat like a child. And, you know, I felt that way when I was out with couples.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
And how long is the writing process for you? I mean, do you find that you're kind of pulling incidents from your life and making things up, and does it evolve over a few years? Or?
Well, a lot of it is definitely me. You know, my idiosyncrasies in my sense of humor, none of the things that happened in the movie happened in my life. And I think it's a few months. I never remember how long. Sometimes I get stalled and I got to direct something like a TV show or, you know, a writing job and I'll put it away. Or I think I'm stuck and I put it away. So I never know exactly. Maybe 6 months, a year.
Yeah, probably something like that. I think there's also a ramp up period that's much longer. And then when you actually get going, it's very quick.
And the studio had notes, which were mostly about moving the reveal of the triangle earlier.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's some scenes that were, we actually moved the reveal back in the editing of the movie. So for instance, the scene where Julia and Jim are in the museum, Museum of TV in LA, used to be after the reveal, after Julia, after Eva knew. But then we felt that there was just too much time of her knowing and not enough time of her being in love. So we moved it forward and took out a few shots.
I'd like to ask you something and then open it up for some audience questions, but it's something about your approach to acting. There's two things that really struck me here. One is that you capture, and it also has to do with the writing and directing, but this film is so much about awkwardness, awkward moments, that just sort of, there's so many awkward situations in the film, and you just do such a great job sort of showing that and showing, in the way you perform, you do it in such an economical way. You often were reading what's going on behind your, in your mind, and you try to like not sort of overdo it or do. I'm just wondering if you talk about your approach to screen acting, because you do a lot with a little, a lot with just your eyes, for example.
Okay, well, thank you, first of all. Babe. Well, the awkwardness, Nicole and I both love awkward, wincy moments. It's a very happy place to tell a story, I think, don't you think? And I was keenly aware of the fact that, it's going to be here.
Yeah.
Which is quite different than many things I've done before.
Right.
So I just dialed it down, I guess you could say. and kept it as small as I could. The truth is that it was in a bit of an effort because I have a really big head and face, and I'm have a tendency to be very demonstrative as a person, and so it was always, and Nicole would say, okay, now make it smaller. And so we
make
did.
Your head smaller.
Exactly. But tone it down, I think actually if you can just try and stay true, 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 true all the time.
Yeah.
You can get there pretty easily, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
She and I think, have very similar taste. And
right.
It's a matter of taste. It's like, I think you get how subtle, moments have to be. And she's just amazing at doing the happy, sad, awkward, terrified, self-loathing, strong, weak face all at once. That's why I cast her.
Good choice. Could you and I'll just ask about Jim Gandolfini's approach to acting, because he does seem like somebody who's not trying at all, which probably is why people think that he was Tony Soprano or
it's because he was good,
right?
But he and Julia had a very different approach to acting. He was very labored and more cerebral at first. Like, he really went after the moments in his head first. He wanted to understand, and he wanted to really nail down, am I pouring this when I say this?
Oh, yeah.
Very, very focused on that. Hmm. And then...
like in the scene in the kitchen.
In the kitchen, yeah.
Yeah.
And he would sort of make me believe that he could never pull this off. It was like, I'll never be able to pull this off. He didn't say it, but the kind of nervousness and focus that he had about it, and then the cameras would roll and he just nailed it every time. Like, oh, why do you put me through this? right.
And he said it all the time. He would say, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. I've never even seen a movie like this. I've never even seen a movie like this. What am I doing? I said, whatever you're doing it well, so just keep doing it.
Okay, let's take some questions. So raise your hand. I'll go ahead.
It occurred to me that I think I may be wrong, but I think this is the first. mm-hmm. person. I think, Julia, you're in almost every scene in the film, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that seems like a big jump to me, an amazing one. I mean, the same way that you, Julia, did a performance. I mean, you're always amazing. This is the first time I've ever wept copiously.
That's great. That's great.
When your character brings your daughter to the airport, but I just wanted to I was wondering if you would talk a little bit about the jump that you both had to take in creating a project like that, where there was one person.
Yeah, well, it started with him, because he was like, Nick, if you want your movies to be more successful, write about one person. And I don't know if that's really true. Is that really true?
Well, it's not
that I could get.
What's true is that when you have an ensemble, it's harder to get, there are certain elements about the putting together of the movie and the promotion of the movie that are very difficult, especially in the promotion of a movie, because when you have like four people in a movie, everybody's looking for what everybody else is doing in terms of saying, should I be on Kimmel? But why am I on Kimmel? And why isn't this person on Kimmel? And what if, and they say, well, this person did the New York Times. And so, well, I could have done the New York Times. And then it becomes, whereas when you have someone who is one person's movie, and this is really two people's movie, but mostly one person's movie, but more so the other movies were really four people's movie. And this is something that is very clear who's like carrying it.
I thought I'd give it a shot. It was scary to me. I thought I wouldn't be able to come up with enough material or know how to follow one person. I always would deviate to that person's friend or mother, or sister. And I forced myself to do it. And once I started, it wasn't that hard. It really wasn't. And I'm so glad I did. And she is in every single scene. So it was. And I could imagine writing more scenes for her.
Okay, thanks. Right there.
Well, first of all, Julia, just like to say how totally awesome Beep is.
Oh, thanks.
but in this film, in the trailers and when I read about the film, it did seem like the fact that the woman, that Ava, Marianne, and Albert, they were married. Mm-hmm. It seemed like, that feels a little contrived somehow. But in the way it plays out, in the scene where Ava really gets nailed, mm-hmm. and everybody else, like Marianne's there and Albert and the daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, leading up to that, this could have gone kind of farcical.
Right.
But that felt very real and very painful. And I mean, there was a part of me that was like, sort of like, happy that she, she got nailed in that way, but also you can see that it's like incredibly painful, and it.
Good. I'm glad it wasn't
farcical. It was hard to do. I mean, it was very. And actually, it's a credit to Nicole's direction, because remember that day in the trailer,
no.
When we were talking about that scene, because that scene, there are a variety of ways to play that scene, and it was, I forgot how you phrased it, but. It's just so awful that getting caught in that lie and trying to pretend as if it isn't a lie in the face of everybody. It's a really, but that was your direction, by the way, completely, because I wasn't sure how to do that moment. I wasn't. It was really hideous.
Okay, over here.
Julia, you're a very petite woman.
I was a little bit of both. It was the lightest massage table that's available for purchase.
It's really heavy.
But it was heavy.
It was really heavy.
Cumbersome. But what's really cumbersome is all the shit that comes with it. You've got to carry the thing with, then you put the iPod in it, and then the chair was in it. Oh, the chair was in it. Yeah. And so it was, but it works, it works. It's a heavy load this poor lady's carrying. And, so it helped the, helped the,
right here.
Congratulations, Phil. Funny and moving like all of your films, Nicole.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to ask about the humor, both Julia and Nicole. Who do you find funny, or what work do you find funny, either now or
question about humor. What work do you find funny? Other directors or performers that you're asking for?
Gosh, that's tricky.
Well, I watch Veep. And I watch Louis, I think is brilliant. I mean, I loved Curb, and I was a huge Seinfeld fan. And
Parks and Rec is a great
Parks and Rec
show.
The Office.
The Office, Monty Python. All of Monty Python, I think, anyway. And the
Sarah Silverman. I think it's really funny.
There's lots of funny stuff.
I always go blank when I'm supposed to list things. But those are
The funny. Wizard of Oz is funny. It is.
Okay. Anybody else? In the back there.
Hi. Nicole, this is really a question for you. I'm wondering, with Julia's role on Seinfeld for so many years, people think of her as Elaine, and with Jim as Tony Soprano, I'm wondering how you dealt with that as a director, directing them to be
Well. I didn't have to direct them in any way. I just had to let go of my fear that it was, you know, Elaine and Tony. And that's what people would see. And am I making a huge mistake? I mean, I initially had those fears, you know, two huge television iconic characters. But I just listened to my gut, which said these are two really good actors. And if we all just stay true to these characters, these actors will bring them to life, you know. It was a little nerve-wracking in the beginning, and then I forgot about it completely.
Is there anything you can say about working for screen versus television? I mean, you've been directing for television, and I don't know. Is there anything about the sort of difference in the medium that
well, the
informs
only difference
how you work?
It's not that different, except that on a television, are you okay? It's not that different. Because the television schedule is really fast. It's about the same as my movie schedule. And I work on shows that I really like. I'm lucky to be able to be choosy. But I'm not the boss. So when I am happy with the way the scene goes, I go back to the writer on a show like Parks and Rec and say, you happy? Do you want anything else? Whereas there's nobody to do that with. Except the actors, I'll say, you know, do you want another? And also, I've only directed movies that I wrote, so I really know how they're supposed to go in my head, even though sometimes I'm wrong, you know, and I'm surprised. Whereas a television show, I'm trying to just not be noticed, you know, just do what everyone else has done before, so it's kind of like the rest of the show.
Okay, right down here.
How did you come up with the title, and what does it mean to you?
Oh, how did you come up with the title, Enough Said, and what does that mean to you?
Well, it took a long time. Right.
The title was only chosen when we absolutely had to choose it because we were shooting the titles that day.
So what were some other titles that it could have been?
Untitled Nicole Hall of Center movie, which is what. No kidding, that's what we called it, right?
Yeah, that's what it was called. But we had lists and lists and
we did,
and games and rewards and. I can't remember what some of our titles were.
She Means Well.
She Means Well. That ship has sailed.
That ship has sailed. Albert and Eva.
Threesome.
I've Swallowed Worse.
That
wasn't
that one,
really.
That apparently, you
know, what? That was more like a crew joke than an actual title.
Well, you know, whatever.
Yeah. People would have come to see that, I think.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have got what they were looking for.
Yeah. Ultimately it means like we better hurry up and come up with a title that isn't horrible. And, you know, Enough Said. It was like the end of the movie is like, no, I didn't buy those night tables. And it's like, Enough Said. You know, he is who he is. That's kind of how.
Does the title fit?
Yeah. You feel it fits.
And I also love the title.
Marianne doesn't shut up, so it's like, Enough Said there, too.
Okay, let's just take a few more over here.
Yeah, I'm curious. You've talked tonight about how hard it was to figure out where to put the reveal and how you moved it back up, and really that's a critical aspect. So I'm wondering, from the point of view of the marketing process, you know, last Friday I'm in the Angelica, I see a 90-minute trailer, and it tells me, you
A 90-minute trailer?
90 seconds. I think 90 seconds.
They showed the movie? In front of another movie?
A 90-second trailer.
A 90-second trailer, you know, that ends with the scene in the car with Gandolfini saying, I feel like I've just spent the evening with my ex-wife. And in the context of the trailer, it's very funny. And in the context of the movie, it's very sad. So how do you, maybe this is a question for Andrew, but...
For Anthony, yeah.
Well, I can tell you that I never wanted to give anything away. When the studio first showed me, it's like, what? And also the like log lines and all that. It was a no discussion. There was no way I could win this.
I'm not the studio, but I agreed with it. I mean, ultimately, it's you know these movies are hard to get people into. And so you have to do something that will make people say, oh, that's something, I get what that movie's about. And that's really what that trailer is. So it was never on the table to not reveal that during the trailer. This is the soundtrack of my answer. But at the same time, when you go see the movie, there's something different going on. Maybe in the back of your head, you know that's going to be a reveal that's going to happen. But at the same time, you're hopefully being sucked in by the drama that's happening at the moment and by all the much more complicated dynamics that are happening between all the characters there, and that creates a different thing. You're really with Eva when she doesn't know, and you're really with Eva when she finds out. And hopefully that overcomes what you have heard about the movie or read in the reviews or seen in the trailer.
Well, you came to see it after you saw that.
I wouldn't miss it. I've seen all your films.
Oh, thank you.
I frankly was pissed that I knew that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, me too. I wish you didn't, because when I showed it to audiences that didn't know it, like test screenings where there was no trailer, I mean, the gasp when they discover the coincidence is so gratifying to hear. It was thrilling. So I don't get that anymore. A little bit.
I
Somebody really needs to get a hold of you.
I also think at the same time, even if you do know it, there's a certain pleasure in seeing it unfold in that way. Just like where trailers, they often do the best jokes in the trailer. At the same time, when you see the joke in the movie, you're like, oh yeah, that's that joke I saw in that trailer. That's, I recognize it, and there's a certain pleasure.
It's always better in context than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Dovetailing into that, for me, obviously I knew what was going on, but it was, I kept wondering and I was afraid and I was cringing and it was like, but I didn't know what would, eventually something was going to happen, but I was afraid of what would happen. So
good.
To me, even though I knew, mm-hmm. I was thinking ahead and worrying with the character and ultimately, the whole, wondering how it would eventually unfold. So kind of got me to ride along.
Great.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, right over here.
Thank you.
I'm just curious, Nicole, what was your inspiration for directing this project?
It's hard to describe what it's so on the screen, I guess, what interests me about it. What was close to you is close to me. Like, how to accept people, what to accept in people, how I am judgmental or critical, and how I can use that to push relationships away or intimacy away, and fear, and at this age, knowing so much about relationships and how hard they are to navigate, how hard it is to make them last, and what would I do if I had the opportunity to learn the things you find out later, like I was married and divorced. So it's all the personal stuff that inspired it. The story, like I said before, is not real. Pieces of the characters are definitely pieces of me and people I know. That's just personal. I have two kids who are, you know, I've got twin boys. They're going to go away to school in about 3 years, hopefully. Mm. But I live in terror. Hopefully, or I think, you know, you want them to. But, you know, that seems very scary to me.
Yeah, there's such a great sense in the film of how you understand how a relationship can or cannot work. I mean, you could see why what's so lovable about Albert, but you can also understand like why mm-hmm. he might be in something that doesn't work out. And mm-hmm. the film really explores that, I think, beautifully. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, so let's just do one more. Does anybody want to ask the last question? Oh, you do. Okay.
The whispering.
Incredible. And
oh,
good.
My question is, was that something you would come up before the casting, or I mean, it was Seinfeldian in like the loud whisperer?
Right.
Yeah.
Seinfeld covered everything. It's like you can't. There's nothing original after that show. I don't remember where that came from. No, it did not come from Jim, because I remember him saying like, what are you talking about? Like,
he didn't know how to do it. We had to show him, remember?
Yeah, because he would just whisper.
So he would actually
whisper.
And I
said, no, that is a whisper.
Right.
You got to do it. Right? Remember?
Yeah, he just had to talk low. Yeah.
I remember that very vividly, showing
like
him how to
takes.
Yeah, then he just had to do that.
Right.
I don't know where that came from, but yeah.
Okay, on that note. Well, thank you. Congratulations
thank
on
you
the film.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
good
a lot.
With it.
Sorry I was late.
Thank you so much.